The sheer quantity of Aquinas's works is as voluminous as that of any other major philosopher before or since, but his use of secretaries means that his style is often rather pedestrian. He is said to have been able to dictate to 4 secretaries at a time, though in the days of quill pens, elaborate italic script, and clerical secretaries more attuned to a medieval pace in the office, this may not have been quite the quick-witted intellectual juggling feat it initially appears. Aquinas also spent a large amount of his time at the Curia drawing up preparations for the union of the Catholic Church of Rome with the Byzantine Church of Constantinople. This was a project cherished by many popes. Intricate negotiations took place, compromises were mooted, detailed documents were drawn up, and on occasion meetings even took place between the 2 parties, but all to little avail. The Catholics were far too Byzantine in their approach, and the Byzantines remained incorrigibly Byzantine. Aquinas was not the only great philosopher to play a leading role in attempting to unite Christendom. In the 17th century, the German philosopher Leibniz was instrumental in an equally doomed move to unite the Roman Catholic and Protestant churches. By then, Byzantium had long since been overrun by the Turks. Among the great philosophers, Aquinas was unusual in playing a major role in the practical affairs of his day, and doubly unusual in the fact that his peers took this role seriously. Leibniz's plans were a highly sophisticated work of genius, far too subtle to be taken seriously. Aquinas adopted the Aristotelian attitude to politics, that is to say, a pragmatic approach which at least had a chance of working. When Aristotle had drawn up a new constitution for any city-state, his first criterion had been whether it could be put into practice in that city-state. Only then would he attempt to incorporate all the best features from the constitutions of other city-states. Aquinas did on several occasions draw up a series of skillful compromises between the practices of the Western and Eastern churches, but negotiations were hamstrung by the interested parties' profound antipathy to the first principle of politics, as understood by both Aristotle and Aquinas, and precious few political philosophers before or since. All attempts by Aquinas to smuggle this principle into the negotiations were confounded. Aquinas's political practice was undeniably practical, but his political theory was just as undeniably theoretical. For Aquinas, the state was the perfect society. But the state could not be too oppressive, because the rightful moral aim of man in this life is human happiness. This may be vague, but at least it is anchored in Aristotelian common sense, and it is even fairly serviceable as a general principle. Unfortunately, Aquinas was far too much of an intellectual to let such vagueness stand. He now introduced an element of Aristotelian thought whose flimsy attachment to common sense in ancient Greece had worn somewhat threadbare over the centuries.